Tonight, my sermon tonight, this message tonight is called Bullets Above and Sharks Below. Help me with that sermon title. Bullets Above. I want you to say that out loud. Bullets Above and Sharks Below. In a moment, you'll see why we titled our message that tonight. But tonight, we're talking about the power of the human will. You and I have been given a human will. And what we do, how we operate our human will, has everything to do with how we walk in victory, has everything to do with how we're able to receive the blessings and benefits that God has for us in Jesus. And in a moment, I'm going to show you a video clip, and it's from a movie called Unbroken. This movie was released in December of 2014. Anybody here ever see the movie Unbroken? And several of you have. And this is an American war story, the movie Unbroken. And it centers around a young man, Louis Zamperini. And Louis grows up in California as a problem child, always in trouble. And with his brother's help, they're a wonderful Italian family. And with Louis's brother's help, his brother helps him to rechannel his misdirected energy into running. And so Louis Zamperini learns how to run, and he's talented. He's great at it. And in high school, he sets the world record, high school track record, for the mile. And when he did that, they asked him to qualify for the Olympics. He flew to New York in 1936, a month before the Berlin Olympics, and Louis qualified. He tied for first place with our national champion, and Louis qualified for the Olympics just a month before they started in 1936. Now, 1936 was an amazing Olympics. Most of the time when you talk about the Olympics from 1936, the name Jesse Owens will come up, because 1936 Olympics held in Berlin, Hitler and the Third Reich had come to power some 3 years earlier. Hitler and the Third Reich, they did not win the rights to put on the Olympics. Berlin won the rights. Shortly after Berlin won the rights, the Third Reich came to power. They took control, and so they took control of the Olympics as well. As they were setting up the Olympics, it said that Hitler spent some $30 million because he wanted to prove to the world once and for all that his Aryan race and his belief in racism, that white supremacy, that was the greatest race in the world in every area. And so the Olympics were going to prove that. And so Hitler, what he did is he banned Jewish people and black people from the Olympics. And as soon as he did that, several countries pulled out. And as countries began to pull out one by one, Hitler then changed his mind, said that Jews and blacks could participate. And of course, during that Olympics, it was an African American man, Jesse Owens, won four gold medals. And Hitler famously refused to shake his hand after that. And so that's typically, when you think about the 1936 Olympics, that's typically the discussion. But tonight, it's a different discussion, because at that same Olympics was a young man, Louis Zamperini, who had just qualified a month before as our national mile runner. And it was during that Olympics, 1936. Louis didn't win. He was in last place, though, on the last lap of the mile race. And he heard his brother's voice encouraging him. His brother used to tell him, if you can take it, you can make it. In other words, if you can take the pain of preparation, the pain of what you're going through, if you can suffer through the adversity and outlast the adversity, then you'll make it in any situation in life. And he could hear his brother's voice saying, if you can take it, you can make it. And he started coming. And on the last lap, what brought Louis to notoriety is that he ran the last lap. He ran that one lap faster than anybody had ever run a lap. He ran that lap in 56 seconds. And the world record at that time was 59 seconds. He beat the world record by 3 seconds on the last lap. And he made up 500 yards on the other runners, went from last place to eighth place. And he was immediately a hero, and they were already eyeing him for the 40, what would have been the 1940 the 40 Olympics. And but before you could get to the next Olympics, a war broke out, and Louis, he joins the military, and he's a part of a crew that rescues pilots that have gone down. Louis is a part of a team, a crew, and when a pilot or a plane has gone down, Louis's part of the group, they go out looking for the plane, looking for the pilots. And they're out looking for the plane, they're looking for the pilots when their own plane goes down. And so they go from being rescuers to needing to be rescued. Actually, I'm going to show you the clip now and move on. But Louis, he was in the RAF for 47 days. To give you an idea of the survival. So now the clip I'm going to show you, he's in the RAF with the only other two survivors, and he, one of those guys died a short while later. And they are in the raft. Their plane has gone down. Everybody else has died. They've made it safely to the raft. They're waiting for rescues. 20-something days have passed, and they hear a plane coming, and they think, man, salvation has come. And as they're looking for the plane, it's a plane from the enemy shooting at them. And they have to jump into the water to avoid the bullets of the plane. And then as they're in the water, there are sharks in the water trying to eat them. And then they go from the shark-infested water back to the raft. But the plane turns around and shoots them again. This goes on 45 minutes. And amazingly, miraculously, according to Louis's testimony, not a bullet touched him. Let's show you the clip now.
Oh, my God. Hey!
Last part, the plane is coming back to shoot at him again. It's an amazing story. My title tonight, Bullets Above and Sharks Below. You understand it now? Sometimes we all go through circumstances and situations that make us feel like we're facing bullets above us and sharks below us. I wonder, anybody ever been there but me? You ever been in a situation where you felt like you don't know what to do? There's bullets above you and there's sharks in the water. And the enemy, our enemy, Satan, our great enemy, his hope is that through trial and circumstance, through adversity, he's hoping that you and I will just give up, that we'll quit, that we'll stop believing in God, that we'll stop trusting the Lord. He's hoping that that will stop coming to church, that will stop believing his word, that will stop claiming God's promises. But let me tell you, Jesus has already won the victory for you and I tonight. And all we have to do is enforce the victory that Jesus has already won. As believers, we are in the supreme position. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. I tell you, Hitler was looking for a superior race. There's no natural superior race, of course, but there is a race of people that are blood washed, that are blood bought, that are royalty and priesthood, that are seated. I wish I had an amen in here. That are seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high. Amen. And I said, these people are the most blessed, the called out ones, the ecclesia. Amen. There's no race of people like God's people. But the victory that Jesus has won, the enemy can't do anything about that. I said, he can't do anything about that. Jesus has already won the victory for you and I. I said, Satan can't do anything about the victory that Jesus has already won. If we'll stand on God's word, amen. We'll stand on God's word and keep his word coming out of our mouth. God will see us through every single time. Louis says that those bullets missed him because God protected him. There's another scene where he prays and he's saying, God, if you get me out of here, if you get me out of here, I'll live for you. I'll serve you. God, please get me out of here. There was no way for them to humanly be rescued. They were in that life raft 47 days. 47 days. And they're finally rescued. An enemy ship comes by and rescues them, and then they're tortured in prison for a year. And the story goes on about the enemy's desire to break his will. They weren't able to break his human will. And then later after the war ends and they are saved, he goes to a Billy Graham crusade and gets born again. Yeah. And he spends the rest of his life talking about a relationship with Jesus, how the Lord saved him out there on the water, how the Lord protected him from the sharks, how the Lord protected him from the bullets, how the Lord protected him from the torture. He said God brought him through every situation. You may be going through a situation tonight, you feel like bullets are being fired at you. But I said, hey, God is your protection. God is the one keeping you on your feet. God is the one putting a roof over your head. He's the one putting bread on the table. He's the one who's your provider. He's your healer. He's your standby. He's your strengthener. He's your comforter. Hey, what do you need? God is that. He is that to you. And Louis said, those bullets didn't hit us. You know, even in the clip there, the bullets even hit one of the sharks, and the sharks turned around from getting Louis. They turned around and attacked the other shark when they saw the blood. They smelled the blood in the water, and instead of getting Louis, they turned around and attacked the other shark. But he said, the Lord was with me in those shark-infested waters. And you may think you're going down for your last time, but if you'll just do like Peter. Peter said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The Lord reached down and grabbed him. Hey, and brought him back to the boat. You going through something you think is bigger than your ability to handle it, holler out, Lord, help me. I said, he'll come see about you tonight. And so there's power in our human will. And we can't afford to let the enemy trick us into forfeiting, to giving up, to quitting, because the victory has already been won. So in our moments together tonight, I want to talk about the human will. Because your human will is so important. My human will is so important. Your will is so important. God, by his sovereignty and grace, has chosen not to override our will. Yeah. You know, I wish sometime God would go ahead and override my will. But God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want robots loving him. He wants us loving him as an act of our will. Oh, yeah. And as believers, one of the greatest challenges we face to really establish the lordship of Christ in our life is to submit our human will to the will of our Heavenly Father. Woo! I said, when we submit our human will to his will, sometimes we'll be in positions that are uncomfortable. Preacher can't get amen talking like that. When we submit our human will to our Father's will, sometimes we'll go through situations that are not easy. Sometimes we'll face circumstances and have to be around people who are not easy to love and situations that become very difficult. And sometimes we go through setbacks in life. But for every setback we've been through, God's got a comeback for every, I wish I had an amen in here. For every setback, God's got a comeback. Yes, he does. And so our will. Now, you know, our pastor, nobody says it better than our pastor. And Pastor Hagin, you know, he has his own worldwide phrase, you know, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. Yeah. It's the same spirit. It's the same thing we're talking about tonight. That's how Louis felt in that wrath. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I may have to dive in the water. There may be sharks to avoid, but I'm not quitting under the water. I may have to get back in the raft, and there may be bullets flying, but I'm not going to quit in the raft. Whatever your situation tonight, I came to remind you by the word of the Lord that you are going to make it if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus. He has destined you and I to win. How bad is the circumstance? How bad is the situation? I remember going through a divorce. That's probably the toughest thing I've ever faced in my life. And not easy, but I can say that God is faithful. I said he's faithful. I said God saw me through. God gave me the strength. God gave me everything I needed. He provided. I said amen. Doesn't matter what the challenge is tonight. It doesn't matter how difficult the call. If you'll submit your will to his will, you'll find success and victory. In these few moments we have now, I want to speak to you real quickly about three areas that have to do with the human will. And these more from a perspective of what happens when we're unwilling. I want to show you tonight the danger of any of us as believers when we become unwilling. Because you see, when we become unwilling, then things can go awry. Number one now, we're talking about three areas here. Number one, the will to forgive. Everybody say the will to forgive. Yeah, that's important. Go to Matthew 18. These scriptures, most of them are in the New American Standard. Matthew 18. Jesus is talking there. In Matthew 18, Peter has just asked him a very important question about forgiveness. And Peter said, how often does my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? In 21. And Jesus answers Peter's question, you know, 70 times 7. But then Jesus immediately begins to tell a story to further answer Peter's question. Apparently somebody had hurt Peter and hurt him more than once. Apparently somebody had done something to Peter and they had done it to him more than once. And Peter was at his wit's end with whomever had hurt him. And by the law established at that time, the Jewish law established at that time, that forgiveness had to be extended three times. That's where even in civil law, what has carried down through centuries of time, three strikes, you're out, that kind of thing, has come from the Jewish law where forgiveness was extended three times. But I think Peter, knowing that he's dealing with Jesus, Peter knowing Jesus was going to blow his mind at this question, when he asked, how often can my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? I think Peter said, well, wait, before Jesus answered, I'm going to outsmart Jesus. I think Peter said, well, I'm going to double it. Three, law says three, I'll double that, add one. He said, up to seven times? Then Jesus still blew his mind, said 70 times seven. But he told this story about a king who owned slaves, and the slaves were indebted to him. And when Jesus tells the story, the footnote in my Bible says that the man owed 10,000 talents. Jesus tells the story. He says this man's indebted to the king. He owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, the footnote in my Bible says that one talent. Jesus said man owed 10,000. The footnote in my Bible said one talent was equal to 15 years of a common laborer's wage during that time. Can you get that? So Jesus said the man owed 10,000 talents. You see what I'm saying? The man owed 150,000 years worth of debt. That's a whole lot of debt. I tell you what, you in debt 150,000 years. Our lifespan is not 150,000 years, first of all. It's impossible to pay that debt. Oh, but that's good news for the believer, because that is the position that you and I were in before our heavenly Father, before Jesus redeemed us by his precious blood. We owed a debt that we could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. Hey, Jesus paid it all. And he set us free and washed us in his blood. I said, we ought to be glad about that every day of our life. You've been released of 150,000 years worth of debt. You had debt you couldn't pay. Hey, but Jesus, he paid it all. His blood paid it for you. The efficacy of his blood paid it all. And he became the propitiation for our sins. His sacrifice completely satisfied the high demands of God's justice. And now the slate has been wiped clean on you. There was a record on you. There was a slate on you. There were charges against you, but the slate has been wiped clean. I said, if that don't make you happy, then there's something wrong with you. You need another dip in the blood if that can't make you happy. That ought to make us thrilled about our salvation every day. Jesus saved me. Hey, he saved you. He saved you from a devil's hell. He saved you from what the enemy had planned. He saved you from what the devil was trying to do. He saved you through the power of his blood. Hey, he saved us. Aren't you glad about it? I'm so glad. Yeah. And so he says, the man owed 150,000 years worth of debt. And the king turns around and says, I absolve you, release you of all that debt. You're free. 150,000 years. And the king says, you're free. And Jesus says in this story, our Father God is the king. You are the slave. Our Father is the king. He has released you 150,000 years worth of debt. But in the story, he goes on. Jesus says there in Matthew 18 that that man released of 150,000 years worth of debt leaves the presence of the king, having been released of the burden, and finds someone who owes him 100 denarii. Footnote in my Bible again says that a denarius was equal to one day's wage for a common laborer of that day. This man owes 100 denarii. A little more than 3 months worth of wage. He just got forgiven of 150,000 years worth of debt. And the Bible says he's choking a man who owes him 100 denarii. And word gets back to the king. And as you can expect, the king is not pleased. And the king says, you wicked slave, you should have forgave him in the same way I forgave you. I released you of 150,000 years worth of debt and you won't forgive? Oh, but the story preaches to you and I about our willingness to forgive. Amen. And when somebody has hurt you, my brother and sister, and when somebody has done you wrong, Louis Zamperini, he had the chance to go back. He went back to the places where after the war was over and all was settled, he went back to where the places he was held, and they allowed him to talk to all of the now then prisoners of war who had held him as a prisoner of war. He got to speak to all of them. He asked for the man who was his main tormentor, but they couldn't find him. They said he was dead, actually, but he wasn't dead. But he got to speak to all of those who had tortured. And he wrote a letter. And it was a letter expressing how he had found love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He read the letter to all of them saying, Christ forgave me, and now I forgive you. And he said, I'm not holding anything against you. I'm not holding on to resentment. I'm not holding on to bitterness. I've released you and forgiven you. And my brother and sister, that is our call. That is our charge. That is something we cannot avoid. As Christians, we put nice little excuses on our unwillingness to forgive. Verse 30 of Matthew 18 says, but he was unwilling. He was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So in other words, the man asked him for forgiveness after he was released of it. He asked the slave who was released of 150,000 years worth of debt, asked him for forgiveness, and that man then was unwilling to forgive. Are you the man in the story? Are you the woman in this story? Who has hurt you? Don't block your own blessing. Learn to forgive with the love of the Lord that's on the inside of you. And if you're a believer, that love is on the inside of you. And if you're not, he'll save you and put that love on the inside of you. Secondly, we got to go faster. The will to forgive is first. Secondly, the will to forget. The will to forget. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15. Philippians 3, verse 14 says this. Well, verse 13, let's start with 13. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. You know, the thing about it is that sometimes it's so hard to forget the mistakes of others, and sometimes it's hard to forget maybe mistakes you've made. Anybody here, you've never made any mistakes? No, we all have. Yeah. But the thing about it is sometimes people struggle with forgiving themselves. And you'll never get to the next place in Christ that God wants you to be if you don't learn to forgive you. And if you don't learn to forget what has happened in your past. There are some things that are negative, some things not worth bringing up, some things that produce pain. And you know what, my brother and sister? It's time to forget that. You say, how can I forget that? Keep your mind from focusing on it. If you'll keep your mind from focusing on it, you'll ultimately forget it. And the sting of whatever it is will be taken out. Sometimes we have to forget what others have done. Remember this, though. Without forgetting, there is no real forgiving. And thirdly, first was the will to forgive. Second was the will to forget. And thirdly, the will to follow. Over in Genesis 19 and verse 17, Genesis 19, 17, it says, when they had brought them outside and said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. What's that? It was the warning of the angel to Lot. To Abraham, to all who were leaving wicked Sodom and Gomorrah. And as the angel was giving them instructions, he instructed them, do not look back. Leave this place and do not look back. All of us have an obligation to exercise the will to follow. The will to follow what? The will to follow God's plan for your life. The will to follow God's, the will to submit your will to his will. Our desire to be in the perfect will of God has to be greater than our desire for any person or thing or any human thing. Our desire to be in God's perfect will must be at the core, must be at the center, must be at the first priority in our lives. It's a question of our yieldedness, the will to follow. Because sometimes following Jesus is not always easy. But for every place he leads us, he empowers us to follow. Amen. Yieldedness. Psalm 32, verse 9. The scripture says, don't be like a horse or a mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check, otherwise they won't come near you. What's that mean? A horse and a mule are known for their stubbornness. They're known for their ability to resist. And as God leads us, we have to subject our will to his. For somebody, it's as simple as staying in Tulsa, Oklahoma because God called you here. But for somebody else, it's a matter of going to where he called you or doing what he told you to do. There's nothing more important than being in the perfect will of God. Galatians 2:20 is so important. And let me finally say this about God's, about our own willingness. Isaiah 1:19 says, if we'll be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. John 7:17, Jesus said, if you're first willing, then you'll know my will, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak of the Father. Our own willingness affects our ability to hear from God. Our own will. You say, what about that? Our willingness is connected to our attitude. Somebody says, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm obeying, Brother Bill, I'm obeying. Yeah, but that ugly attitude is not willing. And if we'll be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. My friend, Are there bullets above you and sharks below? Let me tell you this. The will to forgive, the will to forget, and the will to follow Christ will lead you straight through to the victory every single time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace in all of our lives. We thank you for your ability to lead us, to feed us, to protect us, and to guide us. And Father, we trust you. In any of these areas where someone's having trouble tonight, we believe you. We believe you to help and to strengthen and to heal. In Jesus' name, amen.